Nathan Zagura, the notorious V.I.C. Vic Carucci, who made a nice appearance on SportsCenter this morning. Vic, everywhere for you with the Cleveland Browns. Want to remind you that Cleveland Browns season tickets are now on sale. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 1-800-745-3000. That's 1-800-745-3000. Today you get to see everybody from around the NFL who's going to come through Cleveland this year with season tickets. So again, you can get those at ClevelandBrowns.com or by calling 1-800-745-3000 today. And speaking of around the NFL, a nice news day. The Cleveland Browns, not the only team to name their starting quarterback and make it official. The Philadelphia Eagles did as well. Chip Kelly naming Michael Vick his starter.
Michael Vick is going to start for us against Washington Redskins. He'll get the predominant amount of reps this week in practice, and he'll play. Hopefully, our plan is the first two quarters in the Jacksonville game and then into the third, just depending. We'll make some adjustments at halftime depending on how many snaps we get. So I met with all the quarterbacks this morning. They all understand the plan and know where we are going forward. So with that, I'll open it up.
You say against the Redskins.
Yeah, he's our starter for the season. Okay. So I'm just it's not a one-game trial basis.
Yeah, he clarified that. But it was interesting. I talked with a bunch of people in Philly, in and around that team, and the opinion before training camp, the opinion during the offseason, was that Nick Foles had a legit shot to win this job. I don't know that this thing was not the slam dunk that Brandon Whedon's naming was here.
Correct.
So there was some definite question and doubt, and some of it lingered from, and we don't have to hear all this sound from Chip Kelly, but I did hear a more extensive version of this news conference. There were questions, a lot of questions about what he thought of Michael Vick based on what he saw from his previous time in Philadelphia. And the thing Kelly said that I thought was wise in answering that is, you know, you can question accuracy and question decisions, he says, but it's hard to do that automatically as a coach. You can't just assume you know what his responsibilities were in that offense, what was called, what the, you know, all the variations of a play, because he doesn't have Andy Reid's playbook. I mean, he can have some general idea as another football guy of what he's looking at, but he definitely looked through all of that and still focused on the guy and asks the question, is he a good fit in what this offense is all about? And I felt all along that Vic would be that guy. Question with Vic, though, and why Nick Foles had to be kept in a parallel world with him as a potential starter is that Vic's health is a concern.
Sure.
Big
sure.
concern.
You know, and I'll be the first to admit that Michael Vick has made a believer out of me. I was skeptical about his ability to win this job that placed such emphasis on quick decision-making and, of course, high accuracy. Nick Foles was quicker getting rid of the football last year, also more accurate. But Vick has come out in the preseason 13 of 15, 199 yards. That's 87%, averaging 13.3 yards per attempt. So he has been everything you could have hoped he would be and more, and much like in the way that Brandon Whedon has, he earned that job with his play in the preseason. You're absolutely right, though. Does he start 16 games performance-wise? I think he will. Does he make it there health-wise? I think that's a much bigger question for the Philadelphia Eagles, as this offense will expose him to many hits, and he is not the biggest of quarterbacks in the NFL. Ron Jaworski also weighed in on the decision to name Michael Vick the starter today.
I am really not surprised by this at all. When Chip Kelly got the job in Philadelphia, I immediately went to my office and broke down 8 Oregon games offensively. And the one attribute of the quarterback that jumped out at me was mobility. Not necessarily the mobility to run down the field and make great plays with your legs, but the ability to move within the pocket, to run the spread offense, to run the up-tempo offense. That was key, and that was the key ingredient that Michael Vick had. The ability to move, to throw on the run, to do all the things that seem like a logical fit in a Chip Kelly offense. Chip Kelly wanted to create competition. He did that. Nick Foles played very well in the preseason, but clearly Michael Vick beat him out.
Yeah, clearly Michael Vick beat him out. And Ron Jaworski, as good a quarterback analyst as there is, and you heard what he said. He jumped into the tape, which is what he always does. He lives in that film room there at NFL Films in South Jersey, where he also lives. And part of his deal, of course, in working for ESPN is the matchup show that he does each week with Merrill Hodge during the NFL season. But he sees that Oregon offense and looked at it through the eyes of someone who says, okay, in terms of athleticism and ability, what can Michael Vick do? Here's the other thing that Michael Vick can do. He can lead a football team that has enough young players on it who look to him and look up to him as someone who was that video game type of player.
Sure.
For the Atlanta Falcons, who's in their youth. I mean, you're talking about young teammates in their early 20s, right, who would go back with him to his days when he was the Michael Vick taking the league by storm in Atlanta. That counts for something in the locker room.
There's no doubt it counts for something in the locker room, and he is certainly, I think, a lot of players would be more excited to play for and with Michael Vick than for Nick Foles, and we'll see how well he does. But certainly in the preseason, he has been very, very impressive thus far, and this will be an exciting offense. They're going to run the ball a ton. They've got LeSean McCoy. They've got DeSean Jackson, who's had a good preseason, three catches, 75 yards, and a score. So this is an offense with some pieces in place. You just wonder if he can withstand the rigors of 16 games being exposed to the hits like he will be. And then this is me putting my fantasy head on real quick. You don't have to draft this guy
you
as a starter.
Take that off.
You don't have to draft Michael Vick as a starter, but in terms of upside as a backup quarterback in your fantasy football leagues, tons of upside with Michael Vick. Could easily finish in the top five if he plays 16 games in this offense. So then there's that. The Pittsburgh Steelers were in action last night against Washington Redskins, losing 24-13. And I thought, you know, when you look at the Steelers, some of the concerns about this team were certainly on the offensive side of the ball. How is the line? They have four starters in new places this year, as opposed to last year. They moved basically the whole right side of the line over to the left. Mike Adams, I thought, struggled last night. David DeCastro is back in the starting lineup now. They had serious problems with the Washington Redskins, a pass rush. Ben Roethlisberger threw a pick six in this game. He was sacked. He was hit multiple times. In fact, probably his best pass of the day, a strike to the tight end Paulson for 26 yards, came after Ben Roethlisberger did only those things that Ben Roethlisberger can do, avoiding about eight different guys and holding the ball for about 12 seconds before throwing the ball down there. So the Steelers' line last night, I thought, did not look very good. The one guy that I did think looked pretty good, though, Jarvis Jones, who stepped in the James Harrison position, seems to have a nose for the ball and has shown that in two games there. But this offensive line of the Steelers certainly seems to have some problems. And then they lose their prize rookie, Le'Veon Bell, with a mid-foot sprain. And I'm sure many Browns fans are sad to see him go. No reports yet on just the severity. But whenever you hear mid-foot sprain, the first thing I think of is Liz Frank. And if it is Liz Frank, he could be done before the season even started.
Could be a problem for them. Jonathan Dwyer, I think, pretty solid back. I think a fairly solid guy. He in this game, I mean, he ran through this preseason. He's had 14 carries, 68 yards. That's almost a 5-yard average. Has had a couple of catches. They draft Le'Veon Bell for a reason. But I think Dwyer, if given the chance, he's got a lot of power, a little shake to him to go with that power. I wouldn't rule him out for them to be, you know, for him to help pick up some of that slack. I think the best news, though, for the Steelers, and not so great news maybe for the rest of us looking at the Steelers, is that Heath Miller, who originally was thought that he would miss the first month of the season, could come back sooner than that. So we'll see where he goes. And I don't know. He tore up his ACL at the end of last season. He's still on their PUP list. So that goes on with the Steelers. If they have issues and problems, so be it. We'll be all in favor of that. But that's just a little update on what is happening around the AFC North. Now, sticking also in the AFC, John Fox, the head coach of the Broncos, was talking about the suspension of Von Miller, which it could be 4 games, could be 6 games. Something's coming down the line that's not good for Miller. Here's what John Fox had to say about it.
We don't know the suspension. There is no suspension, and which time there is, we'll report that. But anything else right now is really just talking heads.
It's really just talking heads. Something's coming down, I think, on Von Miller.
It could be 6 games. They're trying to negotiate it down to 4.
Yeah, and I think that's where that's going. Hey, that's a Mr. Stat Guy. I think that's an average of like 2 sacks a game that'll be missed by that Denver defense. That's a heck of a
And not only absence. That, let's not forget the facts snafu that took Elvis Dumervil off of that team
right.
and sent him to the Baltimore Ravens. Thanks a lot for that, Denver Broncos. But, yeah, so they've got some issues there. It's interesting to see, as you said earlier, it was kind of assumed, not assumed, but there were many people speculating that the Broncos would be going right back.
Waltzing
to the Super Bowl. And there are injuries. And let's not forget, they have a quarterback.
I don't think you should waltz as a football team.
No, I don't think there's much waltzing. Although Jacoby Jones did waltz on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, he did. Look where that got him.
Yeah, so I guess that worked out okay.
He was out of shape when they came to camp.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was. He failed his first conditioning test.
Got to run.
And they say that that's like a good workout. I don't know. I guess I'm skeptical of that now. All right. We will wrap things up here on this Football Tuesday, to steal a trademarked Notorious VIC phrase, edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.